Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, Metroplex, the hump day edition.
Hump day.
Sean and RJ coming at you live on DFW Sports Station. That is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And we want to hook you up with a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway at 7:20. It is a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman at 8:20. And Andrew Whitworth, the big fella, joining us in the final hour of the program to talk Cowboys, Super Bowl, and East-West Shrine Bowl. Michael Irvin is still not over the Cowboys' hire of Shoddy over primetime.
We needed to do it then, and I think we needed to do it now. And that's just the reality. And absolutely, they heard me, because everything I talked about, I said it's more than just wins and championships, and all of that's important. But it's also about that moniker being snatched off the backs of the Dallas Cowboys. 40 years is a generation, and that whole generation has never heard anything about this greatness. When that is affected, all my hard work is affected also. All of my hard work is affected. So, yeah, I love Jerry, but he got it wrong this time, and that's the reality. And I'm not giving up my fight. You're going to ride by here again in another year or two. If this thing don't work out again, and my song will still be singing like a young Diana Ross, Dion, all the way.
Hey, give me 1 or 2 years. I don't think he's paying out 2 more years.
So Jerry was asked about Dion Michael at the presser.
Dion.
Saying, hey, you're no longer America's team. The Kansas City Chiefs are taking that off of your jersey. And Jerry said, oh, no, this was actually in the post presser afterwards with Bobby there with the audio. Comments like that, those are comments that are child's play compared to what I've gotten over my time. It goes with the territory. So I love Mike, but that type of comment, insult, is child's play. But Michael Irvin is not over it. Before we finally put Dion to total rest in bed, I had written down a little chart. I made a chart of the things that Jerry could have done with the Dion hire versus this Shoddy hire in terms of winning over the fan base. And not everybody wanted Dion, right? Dion is a very polarizing, can be unlikable figure. But this whole notion of not making a splash around here in forever, you get the biggest splash that you ever could have. With Brian Schottenheimer, you skipped a rock. That's what you did in terms of making any type of noise in the ocean. You would have given off the perception that you didn't have to have control, that Dion would be able to work side by side and get through to Jerry. Now you've just enhanced the perception that you want a puppet. I mean, that's just what the perception is going to be out there. You could have gotten rid of the perception that you were cheap and frugal, because not only would you have paid Dion $10 million a year, you would have had to pay the $8 million buyout to the school. With Schottenheimer, we're all assuming he's going to come in as one of the lowest paid coaches in the entire National Football League. You could have checked off the category of credit in that people were like, hey, Jerry needs to be the face. He has to pick his next Tom Landry. He's got to go ahead and make sure he's the face of the organization. People would have given you credit for sharing the spotlight with Dion, as reporters may have gone to the primetime press conference after the game and not just rushed to yours. In this circumstances scenario, it's still the Joneses up front, as many criticized during that press conference. So all those different things Jerry could have checked off with a hire like Deion Sanders instead of Schottenheimer.
Could have checked a lot of things off. You know, the question with Deion is like, what kind of coach is we still don't, we still really don't know.
Yeah.
We still really, and we don't know about Schottenheimer either. He's a name. Deion, if Deion never played in the NFL, would anybody consider Deion to be a head coach in the NFL today? No. Right, based off what he's done in Colorado. I mean, he's done a decent job at Colorado. There's no doubt about that. But, like, he's not – it would have been to the point where, oh, my God, this guy's going to get head coaching opportunities in the NFL. There's still a massive – there would be a massive coaching unknown with what Deion could do here with the Cowboys, even if they hired him. But there's a whole lot of sizzle that goes with it. There's a whole lot of intrigue because of his name, because of his ability as a player – when he was here, that's no longer happening right now.
Sanjay Law. Who's that, Bobby?
Former Cowboys receivers coach.
He went on with Matt Mosley.
Sanjay, we're here, and I was down in Baylor last week, McLean Stadium, right on the river. Fantastic. And I talked to Art Briles, who's not the coach there anymore, but we had a conversation.
This is on ESPN Central Texas, and Sanjay gave his reaction to Shoddy getting this job.
One word, and it's my honest opinion, I thought finally. So I for one, I've worked with him as a position coach, and he's been a coordinator also when I've worked for him. And I always wondered why he didn't get more recognition, because I feel he has all the traits a head coach should have.
And then one more question from Mosley on what made him realize that Shoddy had the traits to lead an organization.
One, you either have a presence or you don't. I felt he did. I felt he didn't have to try and manufacture that. He has a wealth of knowledge in football and on the offensive side. He's demanding. I like demanding coaches. I am one. Some people don't like that, but I love it. And he's self-aware. There was a period in time, one story I can share. I don't remember if he was out of the league or between jobs before he got to Dallas, but I received a call from his agent or someone he had employed and said, would you be willing to tell us where Shoddy can improve, where he has failed in the past? He's using this time as a self-assessment from everyone he's worked with, and it'll be anonymous, and he just wants feedback during this period on what can he do better when he gets his next shot.
Wow, so I love that.
That's the type of guy you're dealing with.
I love that.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Sanjay Law is, he's sitting there talking about the type of demanding coach that he's. Everybody universally kind of agrees that Schottenheimer is, there's demand there, but it's also like with a pat on the back. Like it can be a pat on the back or it can be a slap on the wrist, but he kind of alternates back and forth between a lot of those different things. And that's the thing that he really excels in, apparently, is just that ability to have that connection, to be able to kind of, you know, get on you occasionally and just say like, hey, you need to do this, is because you have that rapport with them and you have the respect of those players, and it allows him to coach them tougher. That was the problem Sanjay Law ran into at times here. He came in here, wanted to coach tough, and there were some guys that were like, you don't have the cachet with me to hit me like this. Like we have not built a relationship like that yet where I feel like this is in the best interest of me.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up here on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line and the number to call to win the Jason Aldean tickets coming up in about 15 minutes. Troy Aikman gave his thoughts on the hire. He said, well, I like him a lot. I'm familiar with Brian. We go back a little bit. Heck of a guy. Been around coaching his entire life with his pops. And beyond that, I don't know that a lot of people know a lot about him. In the last couple of days is when I heard his name being mentioned. That's probably like most people. And he's kind of emerged as the dark horse. Of course, him emerging as the dark horse had a lot of fans furious and irate. And the Cowboy fan imitator, Scooter Magruder, tried to put all of your emotions in one clip.
There's no way we hired Brian Schottenheimer. That's not real.
Is this real life?
This is the most uninspiring hire since Dave Campbell.
This is Dave Campbell 2.0.
Jerry got his puppet.
I'm not watching football next season.
What about Deion?
I told you Jerry Jones wasn't paying the $10 million buyout.
I told you this man wasn't hiring a black coach.
We should have just kept Mike McCarthy.
Matt Eberflus is the defensive coordinator?
What happened to Robert Saleh?
I would have preferred Kellen Moore over this.
At least the Eagles have to keep Kellen Moore now.
I literally would have taken Jason Garrett back.
Al Harris is gone.
John Fossil's gone.
My hope Pope is gone. Everyone good is gone, and this is who we replace them with? At what point do we start talking about boycotting? I'm dead serious.
So is Mike Zimmer out now too?
What if we just give him a chance?
He's not even good at assisting.
There's a reason no other team wanted to interview him.
The 49ers signed Robert Saleh?
I told you Jerry Jones didn't want to spend any money.
How did this man donate $200 million to Donald Trump and 200 crumbs for the head coach?
There's a reason why they announced this on a Friday night.
Kellen Moore probably declined the job offer.
We are an unserious franchise.
Is there a transfer portal for NFL fandom?
Jerry Jones only hires people he's familiar with.
It's the same thing year in and year out.
People thought Nick Sirianni was a bad hire. Look how that turned out.
Maybe it can be similar to the Dan Campbell hire?
Troy Aikman was right.
At least we still have the cheerleaders.
That's because they don't get paid anything, though.
Is Jason Witten on the staff or not?
There's no way this is a four-year deal for Brian Schottenheimer.
What happened to the team I love?
So there's Scooter Magruder. More fury over, do you want to provide Stephen Jones quote clarification, or you don't want to attempt to put up a shield there?
No, I think it's fine. Yesterday when we were talking about it, I had said that I wonder if he's just, when he puts up the air quotes, is he trying to say, I'm referring to something that's being said. My words, I'm talking about like addressing something. So he throws up air quotes there. And so when I'd said that, I had talked to Cowboys PR yesterday and they'd said that was the intention from Steven, was that that's what he meant, and that Steven was not trying to be disrespectful to the reality that's that, and that Steven knows the reality of that he was more just referencing to, this is what's being said, this is a narrative out there that I'm referencing right now.
Doesn't really, well, no one's going to care. I appreciate you saying that in Cowboys PR. No fan is, that's not going to soften the insult to any fan.
And, I'm buying it.
Sure.
The other quotes used, does that apply for the other ones?
Yeah, because I think he was throwing it around like continuity and change. So to me, it's like, yeah, he's referencing the discussion of continuity versus change.
There was three separate times he used the air quotes. This drought people say we're in, young offensive wizards, I guess that's what the league does call them, and then core needs when talking about what is supposed to be filled with free agency. I bet Steven makes a joke of this next time. He talks and
every statement
has some fun
in
with it.
Every sentence he says that, what, you know, the next time he speaks at the podium, every sentence he needs to throw up an air quote.
Jerry, if Jerry had done this in Cotton Heat, Jerry would do it in every press conference for the rest of his life as like a thing, and then he'd smirk at you and like wink.
What about the Senior Bowl?
Tell me what I'm saying.
All right, so Shoddy's not going to the Senior Bowl, which I don't know how uncommon that is for a coach who just gets hired. Like the Jets are not sending their GM.
Yeah, it's not uncommon when somebody first gets brought on board because they're finishing stuff up.
They're finishing up staff. And again, I don't have an issue with it. But like, also, could you not do both down in Mobile? Like you can work on your staff here, but you can't obviously go to any Senior Bowl practices if you're here. But if you're down there, could you not go watch and then still work on your staff at the same time?
But Eberflus, I think, went to Frisco
for the Shrine
to meet. No, to meet and interview and talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have him go.
You could do it in Mobile, right?
I mean, those are 14-hour days a lot of times. So you're at practices, you're getting up, you're having meetings in the morning, you're meeting with players. And there's really, if you are there, you're doing Senior Bowl work. It's really difficult.
And, of course, it is going to be Matt Eberflus as your new defensive coordinator and Nick Sorensen as your new special teams coach. I was told as 5 o'clock this morning they are not close to an offensive coordinator hire yet. Other candidates, are there anyone that jumps out to you? You've been talking about Clayton Adams.
Clayton Adams is the one name that we've heard some rumbling about, which he's the offensive line coach for the Arizona Cardinals right now. He's a guy who has a really strong reputation around the league and has gotten a lot of credit for not only helping to fix the offensive line of the Arizona Cardinals, but also fix some of their run game concepts and what they want to do there. Young coach, a guy who had been at Colorado for a number of years and eventually went over to the Arizona Cardinals. But that's somebody who has been the only name that I've heard attached to this at all. When the Cowboys have started talking about this, you know, when Jerry and Steven were talking after the press conference yesterday, they weren't, you know, winking about any names or talking about anybody. And so I think they're just very early in the process of trying to figure out, all right, who are we going to put this coordinator role on? I still would be really interested in if you could just do the coaching rehab program that you've done on the defensive side of the ball. Do it with Bobby Slowick. Just call him. Say, hey, come sit here and get things corrected again. Don't have to worry about calling plays. Just focus on getting your work right.
Absolutely. I mean, he'd be a guy I would absolutely call. There's nothing. It's a risk-free job. Like you're Shoddy's going to call the plays anyway.
Yeah.
It's it makes absolute perfect sense. It's right out of the Nick Saban playbook.
All right. There it is, Inside the Star, everything you need to know with RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. I'm Sean Sharif. We have NFL overreactions or not, and a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway to hook you up with, plus a chopping it up you won't want to miss. All that next on The Fan. Did Mike McCarthy make a big mistake? We'll get into that with the latest update on his future at 8 o'clock. It'll be a Meet Church Wednesday. My wife will be tuning in for this one because Matt Pittman cooking for the first family of Waco. And how much did political talk cost him in the barbecue game? I love that he's willing to be forthright, upfront, transparent, and honest about this.
Show me your meat.
Matt Pittman, 8:20. Andrew Whitworth, the Super Bowl champ. Amazon coverage at 9:20. A loaded hump day edition.
Hump day.
On DFW Sports Station. Jason Aldean tickets coming up momentarily for you for turning it on, leaving it on. RJ Choppy with NFL overreactions or not, and chopping it up. You'll want to hear this at 7:40.
Let's get right to it. Overreaction or not. Nick Sirianni is an elite head coach.
So Corey really took this Q&A from Ross Tucker yesterday with us, and you asked Ross that, and I think it's a phenomenal question.
Oh, thank you.
Is he a great coach? And Ross, who covers the Eagles, was hesitant. He's like, it's tough to say. They've had the best roster. What does Nick Sirianni do? Now, on paper, resume-wise, you have to say yes. I don't know what he actually does. I'm biased against him. It seems like, in a lot of things, Big Dom with the headset is cleaned up for Sirianni. What does he do? What's your answer to it?
I don't know what he does because he's got Kellen Moore calling plays. He's got...
And by the way, you can be a great head coach if you're a CEO who delegates as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Big Dom oversees the staff, I guess. He doesn't even do it. He's coaching operations. That's his job. So I guess he's just in charge of...
Like, did Sirianni get Kellen and Fangio, or did Howie get Kellen and Fangio?
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, it's each dynamic of each organization is different.
I would guess that Howie went and got him because there was a question of whether Sirianni was going to even return. I don't think they would be like, all right, you're back. Now pick somebody for maybe 1 year. Like, I would guess that was Howie, but I don't know for sure. I'm going to say...
Is Kellen cooking out of the Sirianni offensive playbook?
No. Like, when you watch Kellen offensively, it doesn't look exactly like what Kellen ran in Dallas, but because, I mean, there's a lot that's evolved about Kellen's run game concepts, but, I mean, it's something where it doesn't look like the stuff that Sirianni did or with Reich or some of the stuff he's done previously. I'm going to say overreaction because I don't think there's any way to know what he is, and he still seems like he's a second away from being on the hot seat at any moment.
He definitely seems like that.
I want to know your answer.
Well, look, if you're going to blame coaches for losing, then you got to give them the credit for when they win. I think that's the reality of it. And I hate how we just finically give credit. Oh, this coach obviously developed this quarterback, but we don't give this coach credit for developing that quarterback. Right? And we don't really know. We don't really know the ins and outs.
But
so
you don't give credit for losses to coaches typically, do you?
Me personally, yeah. I don't give losses or credit to wins or losses. Like, I think it's on the quarterback. I put it on the most of the time on the quarterback. But the general narrative is out there, I'll use that, right? The general narrative is that the coach gets the credit when they lose and the credit when they win.
This is such a tough question. I'm biased. I can't stand them. I'll say it's a little bit of an overreaction, but I also have to plead ignorance. I don't know the ins and outs of who does what over there. I don't know. I don't know how much credit to give to Howie. I don't know how much credit to give to Vic. I don't know how much credit to give to Kellen. I don't know how much credit to give to Dom. I really don't.
Like, Howie's not Steve Kerr. He's a volume shooter.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a little more Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, he's a volume guy. It's weird. Like, you know, they're a strange situation. Like, Howie just takes a lot of darts and a lot of shots. He misses a lot. Is Jalen Hurts, I mean, did Jalen Hurts go to two Super Bowls in 3 years? Is the first quarterback in the salary cap era to lose his first Super Bowl and then go back? And then Sirianni goes. I mean, it's like someone over there deserves the credit. You know, it's like a lot of it.
September 22nd was the last time Jalen Hurts threw for 300 yards, by the way.
What?
Week 3. That was the only time he did it all year.
How about, by the way, Sixers owner Josh Harris? Man. Maybe pulling off a little move here, a petty move?
Big time petty. Every Philadelphia professional sports team.
I'm trying to decide if I like this or not.
The Flyers, the Phillies, the women's lacrosse team, like everybody. Is the Philadelphia Freedom still around? The old Elton John song?
Philadelphia Freedom.
So, except the Sixers. And the Sixers are owned by Josh Harris. And Josh Harris also owns the Commanders. And they are the only franchise in town to not put any kind of congratulatory go birds.
Even the Empire State Building did it.
Even the Empire State Building. Nothing. Nothing from the Sixers. And this is is it your team or the city's team?
Right. What do you think, Bobby? Is this petty, or you like it as the Commander's owner? He should have done it. You don't want to, right? You got to separate it. No conflict of interest.
I think it's bad when the Omni down here in Dallas will throw up like "Congrats Astros" or something. I don't like that.
Like the Empire State Building.
But yeah, right. But this is your city. That's Philly. Philadelphia is great. So when you go into downtown in Philly, I love the setup of they have all three sports stadiums next to each other.
That's great.
So it's the Link, it's the whatever the Sixers spot
the bank.
And then you get the Phillies ballpark. They're all in the same complex together. So it's like you guys are sharing space. These are your neighbers. This is your city. 76ers should have done something.
Yeah, I got a bigger problem with the Omni than the Empire. The Empire State Building views itself as an American monument, not as a New York one. So that's why they do it. They do it for everything. Omni here, it's like, all right, this is just us.
NFL overreactions or not with RJ Choppy.
Patrick Mahomes may not end up as the GOAT, but he has a greater stranglehold in the NFL than Tom Brady ever did.
Not an overreaction. That's accurate, right? That's accurate right now.
I agree with it. It's not an overreaction. Is this an overreaction? Mahomes is Jordan right now?
We're watching Jordan. We're in 1993 right now, watching MJ. Like Tom had
and Allen is like Pat Ewing.
But 1993 Jordan was also his ninth year. Mahomes is still in what is like his seventh. Like he's already won a bunch of these.
But like we were already talking at that time. Like, oh man, we're watching the greatest, right?
Yeah.
And we're kind of with like you know Tom had like two careers. He had his early one. They didn't win for 10 years. They went on a 10-year Super Bowl drought, and then he like, bam, had this amazing end to his career. And so at no point were I don't when we were in like 2008, I don't think we were saying, oh, this is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Like we thought he was you know a great player, but like we weren't on the Montana level yet. And then he kicked it at the end. I think we're watching it.
We are. Bassett did a great job the other day. He's like, this is what it felt like with everyone trying to break through against Michael. And could not be done, whether it was Reggie, whether it was Patrick, whether it was the Utah Jazz. Not an overreaction whatsoever.
I agree. Next one. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC.
My initial like snap reaction is overreaction, but let me look at the actual NFC teams and refresh my memory for a sec.
Goff, Stafford, Purdy, Dak, Love.
It's an overreaction. Like to me, there's too many other names that are involved in this. And again, it is just 1 year. And we've seen this build up 1 year, drop back down, trend with a lot of quarterbacks recently. So,
I mean, Choppy called it in Houston and Bobby Slowick got fired because of it. Did not feel like CJ took the big second year leap. It's an overreaction to me.
I mean, Hurts has not looked like that. Every year that Hurts has played football, he has not looked like the same quarterback from any of the other years. It's different every year. So Daniels, I think, is you've got to wait a little.
I agree. Also, I find it really hard to...
But then you got to give me your names above. You got to tell me who you're taking over him in order to dismiss this.
Yes.
You taking Love over him for the next 3 years right now?
Yeah.
taking golf?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the issue is, like, I want to hold off judgment until they get paid. That's when you really see what a special quarterback is.
Yeah.
You know, like, Josh Allen, after he got paid and they're still doing this, that's when you really find out how good somebody is, I think.
I do think, by the way, there's still been way too much league-wide disrespect to Purdy.
I think
Purdy's been so much. Purdy played pretty well overall this year.
We're about to find out when he gets paid. And, yeah, he helped me to one of my two fantasy football championships, Peyton. Yes.
Look at that. Next one. The Eagles are the best run organization in the NFL.
Not an overreaction. That one's easy.
Not an overreaction in the sense that they're in the running. They're in contention for it. The first team that comes to mind for me is Baltimore. Like, Baltimore pops to mind really quickly. Kansas City has been pretty stable. Those are the ones that kind of first pop into your head a little bit. I mean, right now I think Detroit is operating at a really high level with their ownership, GM, coach, you know, collection. But, yeah, I mean, not an overreaction in the sense that they're in it. I don't think they're definitely one, and there's not anybody else to think about, but it's not an overreaction.
I mean, do we owe Howie an apology? We went through a little run here, Bobby, where I do remember you're saying you're mocking him with the way that the media, we just put him in his king's chair, and we talked about the amount of misses and everything and how maybe he's the media's darling and golden child, and now he's come back around to shut us up.
I think he is a good GM. There's no question that he's a good GM. The question to me is, like, is he the discussion that had gotten out of control about him in the last 2 years was, he never misses.
Right.
Oh my gosh, everything's a home run. It's like, no, there's a lot of misses in there. It's like Choppy just said, he's a volume shooter. He goes, all right, does this work? Nope. All right, swap it out. So, I mean, that's a good GM. But the idea that, like, he's infallible, if he makes a deal, then that was the best deal that could have been made. That little discussion that had started was where I was like, all right, you guys need to throttle back on that.
Yeah. I think they are in the run. It's definitely not an overreaction. Look, I think New England's had a really good offseason. And we got to show how stable that organization really has been. But yeah, it's Detroit, it's Kansas City, it's Philadelphia. They're all kind of right there. Speaking of Kansas City, overreaction or not, Patrick Mahomes' greatness has actually hurt Andy Reid's legacy.
Overreaction. It is funny, though, we never do the Mahomes or Andy thing like we did Tom or Bill. I haven't heard one person ever say that.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you had...
They've risen together. It feels like they're holding hands.
I mean, if you were to... I think a lot of people who, if they would have just started following football in 2013, would be stunned to hear the things that were said about Andy Reid from 2001 to 2012. Where I mean, honestly, not just there. There was up until 2015, 16, whatever, when they were losing playoff games that they shouldn't in Kansas City. I remember there's this one of Andy Reid running down the tunnel after
running.
They lost.
Running?
You know, as much as he can. Moving down the tunnel with purpose.
Walking at 2.6 miles an hour. Purpose. Let's be fair.
And just these Chiefs fans standing there after he lost the playoff game and just going, like, you need to be fired. Just yelling at him. And he's just trying to ignore it and run through. So in the national narrative, no. Or that this is an overreaction in the national narrative. In the reality, if you really sit down and think about it and break it down, maybe it should be more of a question of, is this just Mahomes carrying his legacy a little bit?
Yeah, it hasn't hurt Andy's legacy.
No.
But I get, like, if you were to ask me, like, who's more important to the run, it's not even, it's 99.9% Mahomes and then the 0.1% Andy.
Yeah, Reid. Like, I have a much tougher time with Brady Belichick than Reid Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the eye candy that Mahomes provides versus Tom. Pat makes the highlight reel spectacular plays and throws where it's Tom and it's like, okay, he doesn't wow us with any athleticism. He's not throwing across the body. He's not doing no looks. He's not launching the ball with ease, 80 yards. Pat is, you know, a spectacular highlight, whereas Tom wasn't. But let's not disrespect what Andy Reid did in Philadelphia. We kill for that here. All right, let's not act all high and mighty and above it. Four straight NFC Championship games. With, by the way, I could argue a lot of overrated talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had one stud receiver who blew things up in T.O., and they had a quarterback that a lot of people made fun of that no one mentions for the Hall of Fame in McNabb.
Yeah.
No, right? He did a hell of a job.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. Like, he's a really, really good coach.
Would you take Andy Reid or Tomlin? For your organization, you start over today, you have no players on the roster.
Reid.
Yeah, I would take Reed.
Okay.
I would take Reed.
But Reed, Holmgren, Shanahan, Carroll. Are there any guys you're jumping over Andy in that discussion or mix?
Shanahan?
Mike.
I take Mike.
Okay.
Easy.
Why?
Holmgren was...
What did Mike have while he was winning that, you know, Andy, you know, what's the difference?
Mike.
He didn't do anything before or after Elway.
Right, but he had a shell of Elway.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he had a shell.
It wasn't Peyton's shell. Like, John was, he was still better than Peyton's final. Well, I can't say all of them in Denver. He had a historic year, but Elway was still good.
Yeah, but like the last, like, I think the last year, didn't Elway throw for like a, like he basically threw for the same amount of yards that Super Bowl as Peyton did. Like 140 yards.
Okay, but for the year, I'm telling you, it wasn't even close. Like, John could still throw.
But it was,
Peyton,
yeah, it was.
It was taped together.
It was a Terrell Davis show.
Yeah.
Right, it was a Terrell Davis.
The final 4 years of Elway, 26, 26, 27, 22 touchdowns. The picks were 14, 14, 11, 10. The rating was 85, 86, 89, 87, 93.
Yeah, they didn't do QBR until, what, 08?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Holmgren probably.
Over Andy?
Yeah.
What?
I think Holmgren was like, Holmgren was, if not for the 49ers and the Cowboys sitting in the NFC, Holmgren probably wins a bunch of titles too in the 90s with Green Bay. And he was a big personnel guy. Like, he was personnel and play calling and everything else. Shanahan's closer, but I mean, Andy Reid, if not for this run in Kansas City, his reputation is similar to probably Marty Schottenheimer's or Marv Levy's. Like, that's outside of this run in Kansas City, that's how he would have been remembered.
Okay, well, that's a hell of a thing to leave out.
I know, but that's why we're talking about specifically, is Mahomes responsible for that and changing his legacy and all of a sudden lifting him?
All right, NFL overreactions or not with RJ Choppy.
Sean McDermott has taken the Bills as far as he can.
Overreaction. That was a close game. They're right there. It's coin flip to me. Every time they play, so they can get farther and they can win the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say not an overreaction, I guess, because, I mean, he was right on the brink of being fired last year. Remember, they were like 6-6, and then Dallas came to town and saved his job, and they go on that run the rest of the way. There's just so many different moments with McDermott along his career path where it's been like, all right, this looks like it could teeter one way. And I just wonder if at some point they're going...
So you're saying basically him lasting there, not that they can't win as a team, that they're not good enough.
Oh, yeah. No, they're good enough. Yeah. I just think it's...
If he doesn't get it done.
Buffalo's going to start looking at it, I would imagine, their management, and they're going to say, we're not changing out Josh Allen. He's not the problem. Where are the problems? We've swapped out receiver. We've changed defensively. Head coach, we haven't swapped out yet.
Yeah, I think... Look, I mean, they obviously can win it with him. I think next year is his last year. If they don't win the Super Bowl next year or make it, I think he's gone. Final one, Steve Spagnuolo should get another head coaching job.
How many has he had?
Just
Rams?
The one, right? Wasn't it just the Rams?
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how he... Ross Tucker repeated what I've been saying for months now. Your coordinator status means very little to me as a head coach. I don't know how Steve Spagnuolo is with people. I do believe, though, my hot take, Steve Spagnuolo should go into the Hall of Fame. That's my hot take. I'm stealing that from Jared Sandler.
If he
Steve
should,
Spagnuolo is the best big game coordinator that I've ever seen.
He's tremendous. What coordinators are in?
I don't think they do it.
They have
Dick Geron in?
No, I don't think. I don't think they have specific coordinators in there.
Like,
but I mean, Spagnuolo, if you look at.
Look that up, Peyton, please. What NFL coordinators are in?
Those secondaries he got. So if you look at over the course of his career, he was in Philadelphia in the late 90s, early 2000s. He was the one that oversaw that Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent, Brian Dawkins secondary that helped carry Philly during that Andy Reid time. Then he goes to the Giants, has those game plans against the New England Patriots. Then you get him going to, you know, bouncing back, getting the Giants really situated with their defense to where then Kansas City brings him on, and he's had great game plans since he got there. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. He may just be a Wade Phillips type.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because Wade is a Hall of Fame level.
But if they're going to let in broadcasters and contributors, Steve Spagnuolo should go in as a defensive coordinator, I think.
Yeah. There's, it says, according to AI, there are zero pure coordinators in the Hall.
You have AI?
No. I just went to Google.
When you Google has this default.
Is that Grok?
No, that's Twitter. So Google's is just this default AI engine.
I was about
using.
To say, how funny would it be if something almost named Gronk was like spitting out the intelligence?
I mean, some of the weird images that thing spits out, it looks like something that might come from Gronk's brain. So it's, I mean, it'll screw up every now and then.
All right, good session of NFL overreactions or not. Did Mike McCarthy make a big NFL mistake that's coming at 8? Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
You know, I had a couple of best and worst of the weekend, and I also had one that's called worstest,
this is amazing.
Far more worse than anything else. And I wanted to save for you more time. But as you may know, New Year's Eve, Big Ralph passed away, finally succumbing to dementia.
How have you been in terms of, like, you know, the emotional moments or reminders or just those?
I'm fine, generally. I like to make jokes about it, you know, so... I'm okay. But, now we are about, let's see, we're about 30 days since he passed.
You're just mad that he messed up New Year's.
I really am. He ruined New Year's for me for the rest of my life. It was his favorite holiday, and he's like, I'm keeping it. So he messed up New Year's. He died New Year's Eve. We still managed to have dinner. I was like, you are not taking Manicott from me. Okay.
What would have been his favorite meal? Was that it?
That would have been it. That absolutely.
And what is that? Manicotti?
Yeah, manicotti. We like to pronounce it in a. It's
shell.
We call it ricotta cheese. Yeah. And in a shell. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I did it what like was, that with the shell.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know why I did it like that.
Yeah.
So
he's chuckling over that.
So Luann, my mother, has decided that she wants to, you know, she's like, do you want to speak at the funeral? And I said, I won't speak, but I will roast.
All right? I even found a small turd.
So I've got this.
Tiafoe lost his mind over that, though, by the way. When we played Big Ralph Sunday dinner clips, he had never heard that before. He was dying. No pun intended.
So I've got this speech all written out. And my mom's like, you've got 2.5 minutes. And I says, Ma.
I don't have two and a half minutes.
She
put a clock on you?
She says, well, we're going to keep this very short. You have 2.5 minutes. And I'm like, Ma, I don't have 2.5 minutes.
She should manage G-Bag with that type of...
I said, my dad died. I don't care about your time.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk as long as I want to talk. And I said, by the way, I'm in charge of this family now. Okay? I'm the patriarch of the family.
Who is in charge, really?
Me. I'm the oldest living male.
Okay.
In the choppy household. So that's me. I'm in charge. But this woman somehow got a hold of my funeral speech, and I know how she did it.
Somehow?
I was working on it. I was at her house. I was hanging out, and I was working on the speech, and I get up. I had like a sneezing fit, and I get up, and I run to the bathroom like to go blow my nose and be clear. And she goes, and she looks at the speech while I'm in there.
Oh, my.
And she just went over to the computer.
Gosh.
And she sees this one line in there, and now she wants to cancel the whole thing. And I'm going to read you the line.
All right.
I want you to tell me if this is out of... Now, he was cremated. Okay, so we're not going to have a casket. It's going to be a little cremation box right there. I'm going to read you this line. You tell me this is out of bounds. And in the speech, I said, this is the only Italian who couldn't get a tan. Even his ashes are white.
I think that's funny. I think that's funny. I think it's good.
I think it's tremendous.
I think it's really good too.
And she is putting the kibosh on the whole thing now. I don't know if she even wants me. She said, "Well, you could tell so many wonderful stories." And I'm like, "I don't want to tell wonderful stories."
Yeah,
I don't want to tell wonderful stories at all. I want to thank him for making me under 6 feet tall.
So she.
All right. I want to thank him for back hair.
She was fine with the rest of the material.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. She wants me to leave out all the stuff about Maury Povich and Jerry Springer show. He was obsessed with the Congo, the movie.
So is the reason
the movie Congo?
Yeah, I think he like had a crush
about
on
the monkey.
Yeah, I think he had a crush Babe? On Laura Linney or something like that. Yeah,
Is so when you say you don't want to give a speech, you don't want to tell nice stories. Is that because it's just that's not the style you want to do, or you're like, nah, that's too serious. I'm gonna get choked up. I don't want to.
Yeah. If I get up there and I act like it's like a comedy routine, like I'm Anthony Jeselnik up there just roasting them,
yeah,
Jeff Ross, Greg Giraldo, rest in peace, then I think I'll be much happier, much better with it. So she's trying to put the nail in this coffin, literally.
We got it.
Right?
We got the joke.
Man, I would love if Jeselnik or one of those guys was on Cameo. Could you imagine like the money they can make? They're like, will you just write a roast joke about my dad for his funeral that I can tell or so? And like you just get Jeselnik writing jokes to trash your loved ones.
Oh my God.
I won't be there. I'll be in Mexico, unfortunately, but for whoever else goes and shows and pays their respects, you got to roll audio during Choppy's speech to see how the crowd reacts and responds.
Yeah, because I did a speech at a funeral a couple of weeks prior to that, you know, back in mid-December.
Off the cuff,
yeah.
This should be like a new profession for you. This should be an app.
Just like, yeah, I'll just show up at your funeral and give a speech.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Could you imagine?
They give you a 15-minute summary of the person's life. That's kind of the heads up you got of the other person.
No, I mean, I knew him. I didn't know that I was speaking.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I had no idea I was supposed to give a speech.
Right. He's going
to
be funeral crashing. They do wedding crashes. He's just going to drop in on funerals.
Yes. Brilliant.
Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, so sometimes we'll ask about a skill that you have that you can monetize. And I never really have a good answer. I think I found one.
Commemorating the dead.
The airport pickup.
Yeah. This would be a great Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, right. It really would. So nephew Nicholas Tindy Hands asked, my mom was like, I can't pick him up at the airport. I'm not feeling well. Can you go get him? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll get him. And because he was in Mexico for a wedding. So I told him, text me when you land. As soon as you land.
Now how far are you from the airport?
17 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
I need to know these things.
17 minutes. I said, text me when you land.
And what time of day and what day was it?
It was Monday? Yeah, Monday.
Okay, what time?
Mid-afternoon.
Okay, so not 5 p.m., not 4
p.m. No. Mid-afternoon.
All right.
I was like, text when you land. I'm 17 minutes from the airport. I said, are you checking a bag? He's like, yes. And he had to clear customs. So I knew as soon as he lands, I've got, you know, a couple of minute grace period.
Yep.
Get on the road. Let's go.
Yep.
He texts me. I was already through the toll booth at the airport. I was pulling into the arrival section of the gate.
Yeah.
And he texts me and said, just got the bag. Oh! I'm outside.
Oh, God. That does something to me.
I barely even slowed the car down.
Oh.
He was right there. He was walking up as my car was slowing down.
Oh, man.
It was, without question, a top five airport pickup of all time.
Great satisfaction.
The amount of satisfaction that you get out of that.
Yes.
I don't know that there's a greater feeling
in a
male-male relationship. In a male-male.
Male-male.
In a hetero-hetero.
Depends on the males.
Hetero-hetero relationship, male-male, than a solid airport pickup. Am I wrong?
Nope. No, you're right. I've never been good at this. Like, I will always, I'm worried
about.
Are
you too early or too late?
Too early. I'm worried about, I'll try to get there and somebody's going to be standing there. They're going to be annoyed.
Yep.
And so I'm just like, I end up just circling, which doing it at DFW Airport is a pain to circle. Love, you can do a little easier.
I do have to provide a follow-up, and it is a humongous pet peeve of mine.
Yes, sir.
You cheap, cheap rideshare people. And my brother-in-law, what he puts my father-in-law through, living minutes away from the airport, to make him 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Get an Uber. Why didn't he get a Lyft? 15 minutes. It's not 35 minutes. It's not 40 minutes. Stop being cheap, Tindy. Come on. Come on. Are you that cheap on your Tindy dates? I can't stand if it's 15 or less and you're making people pick you up. Oh, man. I got a huge problem with that.
We are a...
huge problem with that.
We are an airport pickup family. That's just we are. We everybody get... We go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Luann's driving me. My mom's driving me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'll park the car at her house.
Man.
Whatever.
Inconvenience to other people. Now, if someone's happy to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe if my father-in-law's happy. I just think my brother-in-law's cheap. And little disregard, no regard for his actual feelings or life or what he has to do. but, man, it bugs me every time I hear, I got to get up at 5, got up 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. You wake someone up, especially if you wake someone up.
Yeah.
You know, you completely just destroy their schedule and have zero care or regard for it.
I always, like, if somebody needs a ride or pick, like, I'll always, like, fight with them to do it. Like, if I was supposed to do it, like, Kristen's mom would be like, oh, you don't have to take me, I'll get an Uber. I was like, I'll take you. I'll just get up in the morning, I'll
How
take
far
you.
Are you?
From DFW, it's like 15 minutes, okay. Something like that.
All right.
Sean and RJ here, 105 Through the Fan. It is chopping it up. Do you do this with your TV? And I refuse to believe this study. But apparently it is actually from actual TV viewership habits that they can find, I guess, through your cable box or whatever. 70% of people now watch TV with the subtitles turned on. I refuse to believe that's that high.
I don't watch regular TV, but like my wife, I swear she needs to go to some type of doctor for a nausea. It's not phobia. I call it nausea. If I have it, she thinks I'm deaf.
Uh-huh.
And I think that she talks too low. And if I have it with a little bit of volume, it disrupts the entire sleep and the entire night. And I have a big problem technology-wise because I feel like in these new TVs, it goes up and down in terms of the consistency of the program to the commercial.
It does.
They're different.
Yeah.
Why are we not on the same plane? Why are we not on the same level? So when it comes to like Narcos or something like mm-hmm. that or a lot of movies, I don't mind the subtitles. But in my younger day, it shows what a fogey I've become. I was like, get that off. I could never have subtitles up. But for movies in particular, I don't mind it anymore.
A lot of the times we will turn them on default to start. And then as we're watching it, if we notice it's like distracting, like I'm reading this and I can hear it fine and it's like split, then we shut them off. So usually within the first 5 minutes, we determine like, is this one we're going to have subtitles on for or not? Just because dialogue can get, like Peaky Blinders, I'm going to have it on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't usually have it on. Like, obviously, when it's like Narcos or something, a lot of Spanish, then yes, you have to, or I have to at least. You know what bugs me is what they do on TikTok? Every video on TikTok now has, it's just somehow the subtitles are on there. And I
My Twitter has it too. My Twitter has it as well. Every video has subtitles at the bottom.
70% seems high. What do you all do?
My family is, and Mackenzie's parents as well, all have subtitles. I hate it. And it's like the font keeps getting bigger and bigger because we share like Netflix accounts. So like I'll be watching a movie and like it'll say, you know, boom at the bottom. Like it's the sound effects. I'm like, if I wanted to read, I would just read a book.
Chopping it up every hump day with Ralph James, Roberto Pepe, and I'm Sean Shreve. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. And did Mike McCarthy make a big, big mistake? Next.